Hi, friends. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast, where we explore what it means to connect with the people around you and how to get better at finding and cultivating meaningful friendships. I kind of wanted to start the podcast.
First, we need an update.
A life update.
So I'm going to give my life update on my neighborhood cafe.
Ooh, yes.
Because I have been working on that, which is probably why we haven't podcasted in a while.
There we go.
So we built our bench in, like our banquette. We built tables and they're cafe tables, and we painted, bought pillows for the bench. I ordered a bench pad. And in case you want to know, this is not sponsored, but you can go on Amazon and put in your dimensions and they will custom make a pillow.
Amazon?
Like pad for your bench. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So I got custom bench things, pick your fabric and everything, and they'll make them. And so we did that. So we're at the point now where most of the stuff's ready. There's a couple things. I still need some chairs for the tables, but we're at the point where I actually have to go out and knock on my neighbor's doors and give them an invitation.
So give us a little bit of a review. Like, what's your whole goal with that space?
Okay. So my goal is, it's going to be a neighborhood cafe. So once a week for 1 hour, that's how I'm going to start. Who knows if this is how it's going to end up, but how I'm going to start, and the invitations I've made just say, come over on Tuesdays from 9:30 to 10:30, get to know your neighbors, bring your favorite drink. We're just going to chat and meet each other and just have a time every week where you know that whoever wants to can come and go. And just like build better relationships. So people have asked me why 9:30 to 10:30. That's because that's the 1 hour I have the least amount of kids at my house. And also my neighborhood has a lot of older couples. And so most of them are retired, not working. There are some that are younger. For the most part, most of my neighbors probably will be home.
So is it going to be exclusively neighbors or people you yes. know as well?
No, it's only neighbors. So it's not going to be just my friends. It's going to be, I have certain streets. There's going to be, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 streets. Because my neighborhood, the way it works, it kind of like weaves around, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's sort of a cutoff because there's an elementary school and that's going to be the border.
Okay.
So I just have these few streets and but it's going to take a while because I got to take invitations to each house and introduce myself so that they know it's not some like crazy, well, it is a crazy person, but not someone crazy they need to be afraid of. And that's going to take a while because that's going to be a lot of houses. So I'm going to have to not procrastinate and think of all these other things I need to do in that space and actually just go out and give the invitations out.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really impressive.
Yeah. What have you done?
Out of your comfort zone. Well, gosh, now the pressure. Let's see. I actually have done nothing. No.
You've been watching documentaries, which is what we're going to talk about.
Okay, if we're being honest, I've been lazy. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, but it has a lot of inspiration. I've been watching inspirational movies, so, you know, based in Italy, which is a hilarious theme because it really makes you want to like start eating tomatoes more. Because, you know, they like walk out to their garden, pick a tomato, chop it up, throw it in something, and all of a sudden it's like, looks amazing. So anyway, it's been inspiring.
So now you're going to do your garden, eat tomatoes, and go to Italy.
Yes, I am creating a garden with my neighbor currently. So that has been fun. But anyway, this one movie that I watched recently is based on a true story. It's called Nonas. I think it's just called Nonas, which is the Italian word for grandmother. Specifically an Italian grandmother.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before because they have an Instagram page and we've kind of mentioned them and I think shared them on our Instagram page.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's something that I have been really inspired by. I feel like the movie was really well done because they really made sure to stick to the true events of the story. And it's just, I'll kind of give a quick summary. So basically, the movie starts off and there's kind of this main character and he's lost his mom and his Nona and he's just feeling like really disconnected, and like he just kind of has a clock in 9-to-5 job, and he's just feeling like just kind of sad about everything, I guess. And so he starts going through his mom and his Nona used to cook like amazing food. And so he starts cooking a lot, and that's not something he normally does, but he's like kind of gets this passion all of a sudden about cooking, and he's trying to recreate his Nona's recipes, and he just like can't quite get it right. And anyway, the more he's doing this, the more he's like, people need Nonas. Like there needs to be this good food out there, and I want to put that out there. And his close friend kind of inspires him accidentally by being like, hey, I'm worried about you. Like you need to get out there. You need to do something with your life, you know, so that you can get out of this rut. And so he kind of thinks about it, and then he decides he's going to open up a restaurant, and he tells his friend about it. And his friend's like, that's not what I was thinking when I said,
you really are going crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but his friend is a contractor. So he like talks him into basically doing all of it for free. And he's like, I'll pay you back, you know? And so they like, they're kind of off to the races at that point. And his whole idea is he gets these grandmothers from all over New York, like mainly like Italian grandmothers. He puts like ads and social media and newspapers and stuff. And they show up and wants them to be able to cook for the community, and the community to be able to enjoy that kind of food like he did when he was a kid. And so he like puts all this work into everything. There's a bunch of road bumps along the way, and there's a ton of things that you don't really think about like him trying to pass inspections and all sorts of stuff. And the interior design part of me actually really enjoyed that, because there was just like beautiful design, like the little restaurant in the movie is so cute.
Aww.
So anyway, and he makes some friends, he makes some enemies, but in the long run, they get up to the big night, and it's like opening night, and there's this huge storm. And he basically, like, no one shows up. Just his, like, best friend, I think, is the only person that shows up. And his best friend is like, so do I have to pay? And he's like, yes. Yes, you do.
Was it the one? It was the one that gave him the idea in the first place? Yeah.
It's nice. It's the one that funded the idea, not necessarily gave him the idea. So.
Perfect.
Anyway, yeah.
Charge your friends. It's a good, right. Good tip.
Yeah. But yeah, and then. Eventually, I won't spoil everything, but of course, you know, in the end, everything ends up working out, and it's inspired me because I think, first of all, there's a lot of themes of like people, I think, feeling down or feeling like they, you know, want to do something bigger or better with their life and like searching for meaning in something. And then a lot of times it does come back to creativity. Like, I feel like that's something that a lot of people can relate to, is like the light and like the hope that people find a lot is really connected to creating something or connecting with someone. And so,
I think it's so common to start something like that, and then all of a sudden think to yourself, no one's going to like this. Why am I, this is a dumb idea. Why am I even doing this? This is just me. Who else would even care about this idea?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of that hero journey thing.
Right. And I feel like that's, you definitely see him experience that in the movie. Like he tries to stay gung-ho, but there's just a lot of like, listen, I practically begged people to come and nobody wants to come. So like, I guess I'm the only one that really likes Nona's. But the other thing that I found was really kind of sweet in the movie is you end up seeing how these grandmothers don't have anything. Like, it's like a widow and someone that never really found love, and a nun oh. Like left the nunnery. Anyway, and they find true purpose and like meaning in him bringing them in to like fill his dream. And you get to a point in the movie where he's feeling all down about the fact that no one's showing up for these people, and he's like, this just failed. Like, I can't keep paying you guys. We have to kind of cut it off. And you kind of end up feeling like it doesn't even matter. Like, the amount of joy that it brought these, like, grandmas, that they have purpose and that people care about them. And they're, you know, it kind of, I don't know, it makes you think a lot more about, like, the reason behind creativity or the reason behind connection isn't always just to get somebody to believe in you, but it's also for the people around you, you know?
Well, and did the grandmas, were they not sad that people weren't coming?
They were super sad. Mm. And I think that's what kind of drives the story. Like at that point, you're really rooting for them. Like, no, this has to work. Because yeah. It's not just like
his. It's going to leave them worse than they started if they.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it kind of, you do hit a point where it's like, this is really like sink or swim. Like you've got to make it work. And even if you don't make it work, there has to be some solution for these people. You know what I mean?
Right.
But.
Well, and I have a good example of that actually, because my goal was to get these invites out and have it start in March. And I was out on a walk one day with Dad, and I had kind of been thinking just one of those things where it doesn't really matter if it takes a long time to start it. Like if I start in May or the summer, no one knows. And so it's not like they're waiting for it. I don't even know if anyone's going to come to this neighborhood cafe at my house. And then we went on a walk and we're walking around the park. And this lady, I felt bad. So I'm like, she's going to think we're stalking her because we were walking kind of right behind her.
Yeah.
But we weren't going fast enough to pass her and she wasn't going fast enough. So it was just kind of this awkward, like one of us needs to go faster, slow down.
Yeah.
But it's a lady from India in our neighborhood and she's a few streets over. And I've only met her, I think, once before. So I knew that she kind of was in our neighborhood, but I don't really know her. But anyway, she was walking and finally we kind of got up next to her. And I was talking to her and introduced myself and said, hey, I think we met once before at our neighbor's house. And she's like, oh, yes. And anyway, all of a sudden, Dad says, I'm sorry, did your husband just die? And I'm like, oh, this could be bad. Like, and she kind of totally tears up. And she was like, yeah, he passed away 4 months ago. And so she's just by herself. So we walked around the park with her, and I guess one of our other neighbors had told Dad about this. And so we were just talking to her and walking around the park for like half hour. And then I don't know why I said it, but I was just like, hey, I'm going to start this thing where I'm just going to invite everyone over to my house on Tuesdays and I'd love you to come. And she like just lit up and was like, oh, I would love to come. And if you want, aww, people could come to my house and we could go to my house sometime. And we could, yeah, we should invite all the neighbors. And anyway, she got super excited. And it just kind of made me think like, there's a reason I'm doing this. It's not mm-hmm. just selfish. Part of it's selfish, but it's not just like, I want this to happen or I want to create this space that people really like. It actually is because there's people that are lonely mm-hmm. and I want my neighbors to get to know each other and fill that need, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of like you were saying in this movie, sometimes it just takes one random thing where you happen to be at a park when a neighbor walks by or you happen to be talking to a friend and he's concerned and says, hey, you got to get out of your house. Mm-hmm. And you gotta listen for those moments, you know,
yeah,
and act on them.
Well, yeah, it kind of reminds me. I haven't had Instagram for the last like probably month now, and I have noticed. I am one of those people that usually I don't actually notice a big difference in. I don't know, things. Put it this way, things don't have that much of an effect on me usually. Like usually, I don't react to things very much.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I got my wisdom teeth out recently and I was sitting there talking to the guy and he was like, hey, most people, like once we put the IV in, most people are out in about 30 seconds. And so I'm sitting there and he's, you know, asking me questions to kind of make the time go by, make sure he can check in on like if it's actually working or not. And he's asking about what show I'm going to be watching and he's asking about all these things and I'm still talking to him and I can tell he's kind of like running out of questions because he's used to someone passing out, you know. anyway, so just stuff like that. Like I usually don't notice that much of a difference, but I've deleted Instagram and the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, I've had a weird amount of energy to like create things. And it's been very interesting. Like it has not been something that I was looking for or a placebo effect where it's like, oh, now that I deleted Instagram, I'm going to have more energy for blank. It's like, I just deleted it because I was like, I'm going to be on it too much with my wisdom teeth. I just want to, you know, not do
yeah.
that. And then I just never re-downloaded it. And I seriously, like, one day I'll get home from work and I'll be like, oh, I saw this really cool piece of art the other day, and I want to create art like that. That's more like spunky and fun and different. And so I just went out and painted. And I usually really don't like painting. It just, like, is draining sometimes, but I really enjoyed that. And then another aspect I noticed is, like, someone brought some florals in. They used, like, a frog, and it was, like, kind of really different and cool. And on my way home,
you probably,
like,
need to say what a frog is. Not everybody.
Oh, so it's not a frog, but it's like a metal. I don't know.
It's a little metal thing with
frogs.
I don't know.
It doesn't look like a frog. Anyway.
Using floral arrangements.
Yeah. So it's basically like a tiny metal plate with nails on it. And you, like, stick the ends of flowers in it to make them stick straight up. And then you stick it in the bottom of, like, a shallow bowl, fill that bowl with water. And you can have, like, a really shallow bowl and all these flowers springing up out of the middle of it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
You can make very whimsical, kind of abstract floral stuff with it. Anyway, so on my way home from work, I was like, I really want to, you know, recreate that. That was so cool. So I went to Trader Joe's and I started, like, putting that together, and then I gave it to a friend. And there's just been a lot of stuff like that where I'm like, okay, clearly, like, how I have been spending my time is taking place of something else. Like, there are people out there that need to be reached out to that I would have never reached out to because I just didn't have the energy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting. Like, I feel like it's so easy to be like, oh, I just have so much going on. There's just too much happening. And we think that, you know, vegging or taking time to just sit and stare at our phones is bad. And it's like, no, I think that's just our brain telling us that, you know, we're tired. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you don't have that option there, then your tiredness, like your bored brain, will kick in, and you'll find stuff to do that actually is replenishing, like is actually nourishing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually inspiring, like you end up connecting with people or connecting with your creative side or something. So anyway.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Maybe with the movie you're talking about, you know, him losing his mom and grandma, it didn't make his bored mind kick in, but it was like the grief mind of, like, mm-hmm. he's grieving someone and he just really misses them. And so he starts trying to do things to remember them.
Yeah.
And remember that feeling. And I think that's kind of the same. I mean, you can
yeah.
have different things happen and you just start seeking those, like, nostalgic memories or,
well, yeah,
like you said, creating.
Like, it's almost like the idea of when something is taken away, something will come in to replace it. You know, mm-hmm. like there's no such thing as really, there's no negative completely space or else it becomes a vacuum, right? So it's like something's got to replace it.
Yeah.
So he had someone really special to him kind of gone. There was a hole there. And so what he chose to replace that hole with, instead of, you know, I don't know, trying to numb it or trying to cover it up with something, he decided to replace the hole with connecting with people.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And like the lady that I ran into, you know, she was sad and talking about, you know, her plans moving forward and whether to move in with kids or stay by herself. And just the possibility of getting together with some neighbors, just even if it was just a moment, she probably still went home, was by herself and still felt sad. But to have something to look forward to
yeah.
is really powerful.
Yeah.
It's the same like when that research that says when you plan a trip, sometimes the planning and looking forward to it is more powerful than the actual trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of that same thing, like just looking forward to, well, what I'm hoping, looking forward every week to come get together with neighbors at my house. I hope it becomes something people look forward to. And if they're gone, they're like, oh, I can't wait to get back and see yeah. how my friends are, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's something I definitely have a hard time with commitment, as is seen by this podcast. But I enjoy it when I am committed. I just, I have a hard time committing. And so that's one thing. I had a friend reach out to me recently and she was like, hey, like I want to be connecting with you more and just with friends in general and people. And so I'm wondering if every, you know, this day of the week we can get together and just hang out. And at first when she sent it, this is somebody that I genuinely love hanging out with. At first when she sent it, I was like, every day?
Like, ooh.
Or not every day, but like every week. That is commitment. Like that, I'm going to have to.
Because you kind of have that spontaneous streak like me where you have to leave things open because you want to be able to run out your door and run to a cafe or run out, you know.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of that. Yeah.
Yes. And it's actually surprised me because this is someone that I had been asking probably weekly, like, hey, do you want to hang out? Hey, do you want to go do this? You know what I mean? And so it was funny. I was like, nothing's really changing. There's just like a date and a time. And for some reason, that was scary for me. Anyway, and so I was like, yeah, you know what? I would really like that. And we've been doing it. And since starting it, it's been so awesome. Like just to have something to look forward to where every week I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing the rest of the week, but I do know what I'm doing this day. And obviously there's stuff that comes up and sometimes we don't end up hanging out, but it's just been very cool to be like, wow, what a difference like rituals or like just expectations can make in a relationship. It kind of does take it to the next level, you know?
Well, and it doesn't mean you can't ever miss, you know?
Right.
It just means that you have this date set and, you know, if something big came up or you went on a trip, of course you would be like, hey, I'll catch you next week. Yeah, it's so fun to have something to look forward to. And I know some people say weekly sounds like a lot, like you were saying. That sounds like a big commitment. But monthly is a little bit too far away, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be more often than that.
And that's the thing that's so interesting is I think until you start doing it, you're always going to think that it's too often.
Yeah.
But then once you start doing it, you realize how quickly, you know, the weeks and the months and the years go by. And it's like, if I only did this every month and then maybe I miss a month or something, that relationship, it really takes it to a different level when you're expecting, like you can rely on someone or you're expecting to have conversations with someone or to constantly be building a relationship with someone. It's kind of like with your family when you're, you know, young and growing up, you know who you're going to see when you wake up in the morning. You know you're going to see the same people every day, but then your friends you don't have that with. And so I think it's just such a cool part of, you know, getting older, just figuring out how to do that.
Yeah, I have a group of ladies that we meet together once a week. I guess Tuesday's my day. I should look into some like deep, why is it always Tuesday that I'm choosing? We get together once a week. We study this topic from church and we discuss it. And we have different people come and go. I mean, there's kind of a core group of ladies that are almost always there. And then there's others that just come when they can. Mm-hmm. And it has been huge. I mean, I would say, not to be dramatic, but it really has been life-changing having these certain women that I can count on because it's extended past this Tuesday. Now, if one of them got cancer and we all just like bonded together and did things to help her and cheer her up and did a Zoom for her birthday. And, you know, other ones have different things, deaths or things going on with kids. And it's just, even though we're getting together to study something, what's actually impacted our lives the most is this friendship we now have. And we're a lot more vulnerable with each other.
Yes.
I was at a conference this weekend or last weekend, and they were talking about vulnerability and how vulnerability is what makes connection happen.
Yes.
And it's so true. Like you have to get to that stage where you can be vulnerable and kind of disclose things that are going on in your life. And that's where the loneliness starts to end, I think.
Yeah. Well, and that's the crazy thing that I'm realizing is I've always heard people say this, but it really does mean more to me now that I've experienced it. Like not just amount of time spent, but consistent time spent.
Yeah.
It's a much bigger difference than the amount of time. It's kind of like, I'm sure you've heard like that one fact that's going around about sitting and how if you sit for more than an hour, then it's more detrimental to your health then like if you sit for 5 hours straight and then go on a marathon run, you're not going to be as healthy as someone that moves every 45 minutes, even if it's just walking around. You know what
I mean? Yeah, that makes sense.
And so it's like, if that's how our bodies are functioning health-wise, it makes sense that's also how our emotional health would be functioning too. Like if you're trying to connect, if you're trying to build good habits, if you're trying to, you know, be different in any way, then the consistency of doing something is going to matter more than how in depth or how vulnerable or how deep you go in one setting.
Right. And kind of circling back, maybe to wrap this up a little bit, to the Nonas movie, I think that it's important to recognize the inner, I mean, we've talked about this before, but intergenerational connectivity, that we can learn so much from every generation, you know, whether you're spending time with grandmas or spending time with the kids next door, you know, I think it keeps you younger.
Yes.
When you can interact with all different ages, and you might think of connecting just friends. Like, I want a friend, I'm lonely. But how many of those good relationships happen when there's, you know, this friend of yours that's 30 years older than you, and you go visit her and she just tells you these stories that are amazing of her life, and it inspires you to want to do things, and you tell her about your problems and she can tell you how she dealt with it when she was your age. And I think, you know, taking something from that playbook of Nona's, we all want a good grandma, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes just that consistent interaction with people around you. I'll be 49 in May. And the ladies around me are mostly in their 70s, probably, or older. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that I can't have any friends. I mean, there is so much wisdom there. And I'm hoping that they will have the courage to come over to my house, even though I'm like a weirdo showing up at their doorstep with an invite.
Should bring good food. Maybe that'll inspire them more.
No. I don't want them to think that they need to. I am not the good cook. Like, that would turn them away. Like, oh, is this what we can expect? Nah, maybe I shouldn't come to your house. What I'm going to say is bring your own drink and bring your own dessert. I mean, yeah. If you want to eat, you got to bring it. So,
yeah, that's funny. Well, yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a perfect way to end the podcast. One last thing I'll say is, you know, I won't spoil anything. You don't know how they get there. At the end, they end up succeeding, and they're actually a real life functioning and like really busy restaurant in New York. And now they have grandmas from all over the world that come and cook different dishes. And at the end of the movie, you'll see pictures of the real people and videos of the place that actually is, you know, working.
Yeah,
and
that's so inspiring. Just create whatever, you know, your thing is. Just try something new, involve other people. And
if I feel like, you know, there's a lot of little tidbits from today. Like, one, I'll just name a few. Like, one would be, you know, find something to take out of your life and then find something to replace it with. If you just want somewhere to start, like even if you just take something out, something will fill it. And as long as you kind of safeguard yourself, then something really cool will pop up. Another thing would be just really try to find somebody that you feel comfortable making a commitment to every week. I think that is an easy way to start, even if it's a phone call. Like, even if you're like, oh, I don't want to have to call someone every Tuesday or every Monday, just try it. Like, really just try it, and it could really change your life and change their life.
And you can even set a time limit. Actually, I love time limits with my neighborhood cafe. It has to be an hour because I got to go pick up kids from a class. And so it's going to be easy to be like, all right, guys, everyone out. See you next week.
Okay. So those are our goals for this week. Go out and do, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.